This is the best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network, brought to you by Capital Financial Advisory Group. Get your total retirement income plan by texting Adam to 21000.
All right, let's talk.
Enjoy the best of today's show. Here's Adam Gold.
No cheering, though, remember. No cheering at the Olympics.
May we blink?
No, no blink. Actually, it was not in the rules. I believe you can blink. But you need to limit your blinking. Each fan can blink twice per hour.
I think that's a line from Fletch when he gets taken down to the police station. And they're like, no doing this. He's like, may we blink?
All right, it's all even in the Bucks-Hawks series. Atlanta cruised last night. I guess you don't need Trae Young. Didn't I ask Brian Geisinger yesterday if the Hawks had any chance if Trae Young can't play? And he said, we all agreed, no. So Trae Young was declared out, and then they just went and kicked Milwaukee's butt all over. Where do they play? Phillips Arena still?
Yes.
I don't even know. Hawks in their MLK threads. Kind of like them.
Yeah, I like them. I feel like when we get to the playoffs and the finals and things, though, I feel like you should go back traditional.
No, I mean, all the teams wear, like, 17 uniforms during the playoffs.
I get that. But, like, I don't know. It doesn't matter. I don't care.
It doesn't.
I don't care that much.
It doesn't. Yeah. But I like the MLK threads. I think those are nice.
Yeah, no doubt.
Like, the Hurricanes on the playoffs wore their alternate uniforms at home.
Yeah, that's because they win more in those uniforms.
It didn't help them.
It's statistically proven.
Right, but it didn't help them.
Well, uniforms are a big
deal. They lost all 3 games at home to the Lightning.
They did.
They should have played naked. No Trae Young. The Hawks rode Bogdanovich.
Dude couldn't miss.
He was amazing. Clint Capella. Cam Reddish.
Kevin Huerter.
Tremendous.
Yeah.
Like, it was such a good... I thought it was a fun game to watch, to be honest. After the first... I'd say the first 10 to 15 or so minutes of the game. First 15 or so minutes of the game were terrible. And then Milwaukee was bad, and the Hawks looked like they couldn't make a shot either. And then, like, at the end of the first half, the Hawks started getting something going. And then in the third quarter, they were absolutely great. But anyway, they pull even. Lou Williams was excellent in the game last night as well.
Lemon Pepper Lou!
He was tremendous. They even the series at 2. Nate McMillan, Hawks coach, on winning without Trae Young.
I just respect this team and their approach all season long. You know, as I mentioned at the beginning, we've had this situation where we've had a lot of guys out, and our guys continue to step up, next man up, and play solid game, play solid basketball. You know, Lou did an excellent job for us tonight, you know, just running the team, establishing the tempo. We got great ball movement tonight. All the things that we talked about, we needed, we got that tonight. And it started with our guards. You know, I thought Bogey, you know, found his rhythm tonight, knocking down some shots. Kevin was really good again. You know, it was a total team effort, and guys continue to step in and take advantage of opportunities when they get them.
I like calling him Bogey.
See, I don't
so
like
much
it.
Easier.
I don't like it. To me, that's a derogatory name to call somebody. I don't want to be called Bogey. Don't put that in my head.
You know, we don't even know if he plays golf, though. Like, what if he doesn't play golf?
I think they should ironically call him Birdie.
Last night, he was an eagle.
He was awesome.
He was tremendous last night. After the game and even during it, main focus, however, was the knee injury to Giannis Antetokounmpo. Hyperextended left knee, third quarter, did not return. Well, he sort of didn't return. He actually came back to the court, but at that point, the Hawks were putting the wood to the Bucks, and then he turned around and went back to the locker room, which he probably wasn't going to play anyway.
Good to see him walk off, though, on his own power.
Yeah, I mean, he was limping. I hope it's okay. He's getting an MRI today.
Can they not show those replays? Can they show those less?
Like, I didn't see it happen live. I mean, I watched it, but I didn't recognize the injury. Yeah, it's not good. The knee's not supposed to go that in that direction.
It was a reverse C.
Yeah.
Or no, it wasn't even reverse.
Like, I don't know if there's a positive to it other than it didn't go side to side. Right?
Right.
So I do assume that there is something structural wrong, but it might not be ACL related, which I think if it's not ACL related, it's possible Giannis, if Milwaukee can figure out a way to win this series, Giannis might be able to come back.
Yes.
I mean, I'm definitely not a doctor.
We don't know anything yet.
Don't know.
I was chatting with our friends, Brian Geisinger and Brendan Whitted, during the game last night, and Brendan pointed out that someone tweeted, a hyperextension is a description of how an injury occurred, but not the injury itself.
Right. I saw that, too. But we're still calling it a hyperextended knee. So
I get that, but I'm saying we can't tell what – we don't know what's happened inside the knee. We just know that it hyperextended.
Exactly. That's what happened. Now what is the injury? Anyway, Coach, was it Mike Budenholzer?
Yes.
I just call
– Coach Bud.
I just – that's all I hear is people don't like Coach Bud on the freak being hurt.
He's in the locker room with the guys and just address the group and you know, but nothing, you know, above and beyond, or, you know, we'll see how he is tomorrow. Yeah, you know, I mean, they had a lot of guys play well tonight, you know, for really the whole game. So, you know, credit to Atlanta. They played well from the start. They played well coming off the injury. You know, so we got to be better on both ends. You know, our group will gather. Our group, the character of it will come through, and we're going home. It's 2-2. We're going back to Milwaukee.
Facts only for Coach Bud. Chris Middleton, 0 last night. I mean, he has scored 16 points, but we talked about this yesterday. It is so obvious that the Bucks win when Middleton is a star, and when he's not, they probably don't win. It ain't about Giannis. Giannis was balling in the third quarter early, but it wasn't like they were getting any closer. They were still losing by 10 or 12, even though Giannis was great early in the third quarter. Came out and just kept getting to the rim. But it's all about Middleton, who was basically shut down. What, 0 for 7 from three-point range? So what's the problem with Milwaukee? I think Charles Barkley actually has figured this out.
It's 100% leadership.
Yes.
100% leadership. You know, Ernest said the stat before the game, they shot less threes last game and they won. They come out tonight and go 8 for 39. When you shoot that and you're like, we think it's a scrimmage. They thought it was game 53 of the regular season because it wasn't a must win. Their mentality, last game, they're like, this is a must win. Let's get this game. They came out and played fantastic. Tonight, I says, we got to know in the first quarter. We said before the game, I says, I think the Bucks were going to win the series. It depends on Giannis. But I said, you asked me. I said, I'm taking the Hawks tonight because they do not have killer instinct. They got good basketball players, but they don't have killers. Like they and their leadership is not and the leadership don't push the right buttons to hold them accountable. They doing stupid stuff that they did the last 3 years.
Barkley basically said also to kind of, you know, continue this. He said they're great. They're a great basketball team, but they had an opportunity to step on Atlanta's neck tonight and didn't do it because they didn't play the game that way. They didn't do whatever it took to make sure that you got to, like, if they get to 3-1 and you get home, you get two more shots at home, you're winning that series. And Trae Young's not playing. It's kind of disappointing. By the way, we talk a fair amount about home ice or home court advantage. there was a home court advantage last night because it was comical. Every time Giannis went to the free throw line, the Hawks crowd starts the count a little faster. I thought Giannis was fine last night in terms of how quickly he released the free throw. But he airballed basically two. It was an ugly shooting performance at the free throw line. But there's no way that doesn't impact him.
Well, I mean, and it's weird, too, because normally in Atlanta, half the crowd is pulling for the other team.
We're taking shots at everybody
today.
It's mostly true. Yeah, it's true.
I mean, I've told this story many times when I was down there working on the Atlanta Hawks radio network. There was a time when the Boston Celtics came through, and Paul Pierce was motioning the crowd to raise their voice after a 10-0 run by the Celtics, and the Hawks called timeout, and the crowd obliged him.
It's awesome. Absolutely awesome. I look forward tonight. We have the Clippers and the Suns. Suns have another opportunity to put Chris Paul in his first NBA Finals. All right, let's move on to the other sport that is about to decide a champion. It's award season in the NHL, Alec. Connor McDavid unanimously won the Hart Trophy. That's the MVP in the National Hockey League. 100 votes, first place votes, all went to Connor McDavid. You know what's interesting? The top six vote getters for the Hart Trophy: McDavid, Austin Matthews, Nathan MacKinnon, Sidney Crosby, Brad Marchand, and Alexander Barkov. Do you know how many series, playoff series, they won combined? Three. Those six players combined to win three. Is it three? No, I'm sorry. It's two. MacKinnon, they lost in the second round. Colorado lost in the second round. McDavid and Matthews each lost in the first round. Sidney Crosby lost in the first round. Marchand lost. So they combined to win two playoff series, the top six vote getters. I just thought it was kind of interesting. Alex Nedeljkovic finished third in the Calder Trophy.
That's the rookie of the year.
That is the rookie of the year. Kirill Kaprizov from Minnesota got 99 of the 100 first place votes. 99? Jason Robertson from Dallas got the other first place vote. Alex did get 4 second place votes, which I actually was pretty impressed with. Canes legend Adam Fox won the Norris Trophy. Rangers defenseman Cale Makar was second. Victor Hedman third. Dougie Hamilton was fourth in the voting. So, because why not anger Dougie Hamilton Twitter? I have nothing against Dougie Hamilton. He's the third best Carolina Hurricanes defenseman. And he got fourth in the Norris Trophy voting. By the way, Jacob Slavin and Brett Pesce each did get some support. I know who voted for Brett Pesce fourth in the voting.
Was it you?
No, I don't have a vote.
Okay.
I do not have a vote. But I know who voted fourth. It was somebody who joined me on the podcast last week. Our friend Corey Lavalette, North State Journal, gave Brett Pesce a fourth-place vote for the Norris Trophy. Like, some people took that as a knock on Hamilton. He's their third-best defenseman. I didn't say he wasn't valuable. That he was their third-best defenseman because Slavin and Pesce are 1 and 2 in that order, right? The Hurricanes' third-best defenseman finished fourth in the Norris Trophy race. But man, does that annoy people. God, I love Dougie Hamilton Twitter. I love it. I'm not even knocking him. Bless you. Bless all of you for having somebody that you love that much. I absolutely applaud you. I absolutely applaud you. I got people complaining during the playoffs when you point out a Dougie Hamilton turnover. Like, show me on the doll where Dougie hurt you. I'm like, why don't you grow up? Come on, man. Everybody makes mistakes. Remember, you got on me for pointing out a Sebastian Aho turnover in a regular season game at Dallas. Right? It was right before the end of the game. They had Dallas had the extra attacker on to the goals out, and Aho tried to make a pass to Andrei Svechnikov. It didn't get through. Dallas goes the other way and ties the game.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I thought it was I didn't think it was a smart play by Aho. I thought he was trying to get Svechnikov a goal. Like you got on me about it. That's fine.
I got on you about it.
You did during the podcast. It's fine. It doesn't matter, right?
I don't remember.
So I'm just saying that I am an Aho apologist. But if you make a mistake, you make a mistake. And it's fair game to point it out. Right? If Alex Nedeljkovic allows a bad goal, which he did in the playoffs, it's okay to point it out. But man, Dougie Hamilton Twitter is strong. Absolutely love all you. Game two of the Stanley Cup Finals is tonight. We talked briefly about this yesterday. It wasn't just that Tampa won 5-1. It was how they won 5-1. And yeah, they put up five goals. They were 1-for-3 on the power play. The power play goal came very late in the game, late third period, with Stamkos scoring. But I thought they completely stifled Montreal. Like, the Canadiens made some mistakes with the puck, but it just looks like, and again, one game, so we don't know, but it just looks like the Canadiens don't have any answers for what Tampa wants to do when Tampa doesn't have the puck. Tampa can play the lockdown defense that Montreal has been playing. And when Tampa does that, especially if you give them the first goal, you're done. You're done. You have to get ahead of them. Because if you allow them to use a soccer term, to park the bus, you got no shot. No shot. So Montreal better score the first goal tonight in game two. If they don't, they're not going to win. And the Lightning are going to win a second straight Stanley Cup. And the Lightning can at least celebrate with their fans. One of my favorite people to have on this program to talk about anything. Doesn't matter. We can talk Bears football. Jason Goff, NBC in Chicago, at Jason1Goff on Twitter, SiriusXM NBA Radio. I don't know if you heard about this, but Giannis got hurt last night.
Yeah, he did. And it leads to more ridiculousness in the playoffs that nobody really wants to admit, but it kind of sucked. Like, this. I know, like, listen, I'm as big an NBA. But what's up, Adam, by the way?
No, it's all good. You get it because you host on radio. So, you know, limited time. We could spend 10 minutes talking. How's everything? How was your trip to Belize?
It was amazing. Absolutely amazing.
We could do all that. Were you getting to Jason Goff from NBC Sports in Chicago? Were you getting to these playoffs maybe not being as great because of the massive wave of injuries we've seen?
Yeah, that and listen, basketball ain't baseball. It's not football. It's not hockey. Ain't no puck luck. Ain't no hot pitchers, hot goalies. Ain't no any given Sunday. These are the principal characters. You give the ball to the best ones on the floor, hopefully 4 times out of 7, the best player wins. You get the two best teams, and you figure your NBA championship out. Now, that may be, you know, too predictable or not fun enough for some people, but, man, you got 4 teams right now that I don't know if any one of them needed a bucket. Could they absolutely, positively get it? Like, this Hawks-Bucks thing, man, like – this, everybody's hurt. The dudes who aren't hurt, all of a sudden you have to have like a Kobe-like performance from Chris Middleton in the fourth quarter to beat a team in the Atlanta Hawks who during the year fired their coach. Like, I'm enjoying watching the ascension of young players and the storylines, right? But for the casual fan, like, I can see how this one might be because the bubble was just the spectacle of the bubble and you had LeBron in it.
Right.
This year, you were hoping that, all right, this Brooklyn thing would take shape healthily, right? The Philadelphia 76ers, obviously the Boston Celtics. You had names across the board. And the Milwaukee Bucks, where everybody's like, we'll see. Now, all of a sudden, the we'll see was like, this might be the best team in the playoffs. Then Giannis does what he did last night, hurts himself. Trey Young's hurt. Kawhi Leonard's hurt. You know, Chris Paul had to miss some of the – some of the, the end of last series because of COVID protocols. It's just, I don't like amateur talent shows. I'm not saying this is one of them, but like, I'll find you when you get your singing deal, right? Like, there's a lot of guys, who I love watching, but it's going to be hard for casual fans to fall in love with Mikal Bridges, right?
And
it's, it's the same reason why baseball's World Series outside of big markets really doesn't rate. It's a local passion more so than anything. And hockey, the guys don't market themselves, or the league doesn't market their biggest personalities the way they should. So, you know, this is, we come here to see the stars, and the stars are either not in it or hurt. So this playoffs, I'm not scared to say, has been a little bit lackluster for me.
Yeah, it's funny because I saw television ratings for the U.S. women's gymnastic trials were ahead of the Bucks-Hawks game. The Bucks-Hawks, now there's a little bit of difference there. The Bucks-Hawks was on TNT, and the women's trials were on NBC proper, the network. But it was still a number.
And Simone Biles, right?
That's right. It was, and Simone Biles wasn't even that good. She wasn't even the best gymnast at the trials. I think it was Suni Lee was the best gymnast, but Yes, I watched.
I was about to say, look at you getting your gymnastics bag.
Oh, man,
look
I could watch Simone Biles jumping up in the air, spinning like 16 times.
Hey, Simone's a homie, That's, I mean, Belizean roots, too, by the way, if you actually look it up. So, yeah, I always root for Simone Biles, one of the greatest athletes of all time. And I'd rather watch her than watch Chris Dunn get playoff minutes.
This is the best. Oh, man, I love talking to you. all right, so let me get to one other thing before I ask you about Scottie Pippen. Because I've looked at these playoffs, and I actually came to this determination maybe 2 weeks ago. This was before the Brooklyn Nets allowed the Milwaukee Bucks to win game, I guess it was game three in Milwaukee, which allowed them back in the series after Durant hit the shot to give him a three-point lead with a minute 23 left. Yep. They didn't have another good possession the rest of the game, and that was that. But to me, these are the playoffs of Chris Paul. Of a guy who is a top, maybe a top three, top four point guard all time, who has never played in the finals. This is his opportunity. Boy, they blew it in game five. They could have eliminated the Kawhi-less Clippers. What is your read on what the Suns have in front of them the next two games?
It's going to be tough. The onus is on them now. The are you ready for prime time moment happened. And in that moment, you're supposed to stomp them out. You're supposed to send them home and definitively show everybody that this isn't just some cute thing that Chris Paul came to rescue. When you don't do that, that's what it looks like. And on top of it, I mean, there were minutes there for long stretches of that game where their offense was not the Suns' offense that we've seen now. The obviously, the Clippers buckled down on defense. You got that elimination game kind of determination and desperation. But if you're going to tell me that Marcus Morris is going to hit his first six shots and you're going to get off to a 20-5 lead, yeah, that's what's going to happen. You cannot come out that way in on your home floor in an elimination game. Mm-hmm. And on top of it, I think they found some things. Getting Devin Booker in some of those switches, some of those 3-4 switches or some of those 2-3 switches, whether Marcus Morris is playing that 4 spot or if they're going big and Zubats is able to play, which it doesn't look like it, but if he's able to play and he's at that 3, when they make that switch and they get him on the hip on Devin Booker, they're targeting him. Mm-hmm. So that's something now that Monty Williams is going to have to counter. You know, you're going to have to get a lot more minutes of that Jay Crowder, Devin Booker, and Mikal Bridges trio and taking away some of your height. And if that happens, how do the Clippers counter with their fundamental, like, effective height, right? They don't have a whole ton of it, right? So it's the little chess moves that have to be made going forward. You wouldn't even have to think about this if you took care of business the way you should have. DeAndre Ayton, I think, you know, this is the game where you have to be not just the number one pick, but you got to be the max player that you are aiming towards being after this performance. So, the Chris Paul thing, listen, We talked about this on the Bulls Talk podcast the other day about point guards and how I can't put anybody ahead. I think Magic Johnson is ahead of his position more so than anybody else to ever play the game, probably. So, and I love Isaiah Thomas, and he's two. If we start getting down the line here, Chris Paul hasn't won anything yet. You know, the Jason Kidds of the world and guys like that start to come up for me, and Oscar Robertson. You know, I think I had him somewhere around 6 or 7. And he's always had that love of being one of the best of all time, and he didn't really have that pressure of not winning anything, except that L.A. thing blew up, and then he bounced around 3 other places. And then, we've seen what we've seen in the last couple of years, where he's taken 2 really young teams and made them viable, not contenders, because obviously Phoenix is and Oklahoma City wasn't, but, you know, that Oklahoma City year, that was a tough team because of him. So yep. Chris Paul deserves all the credit in the world. But now's the time where, you know, that tutelage and all the wisdom that he should be passing on, they got to get them out of here, because if this thing goes to a game 7, the Clippers are going to the final.
Yeah, I agree. This is do not put all of that pressure. The Clippers seem like a much looser team, even though they have had their backs against the wall. Jason Goff from NBC Sports in Chicago. All right, before we let you go, we only have a couple of minutes left, really.
Yeah.
I want to get your take on this. Scottie Pippen basically said Michael Jordan orchestrated everything, and this he said this, that he knew this in real time, not after the fact. Called Phil Jackson a racist on national radio 2 days ago. What's Scottie doing other than selling bourbon?
You know, Scottie has not. You know, when we saw Kwame Brown lash out. And you think, like, man, how long has this dude? That's the first thing I said to myself. How long has this dude been holding this?
Right.
Scottie Pippen has been holding ill feelings for a long time. And even when he was like a team ambassador, where he would be at the United Center all the time, Scottie never felt like he got his just due. And I got to be honest with you, I agree with him. Where I don't agree, well, I don't even say don't agree, but, you know, calling someone a racist is very, very, serious.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't discount anybody's experience. If Scotty feels that there were some things that were racially motivated, he's got to prove the evidence. It's his experience. Just like I don't, you know, when somebody talks about assault or anything like that, whatever your experience is, I have to hear it out. I've never heard anything like that about Phil Jackson. And now, to me, the first, when I heard it, I was like, Michael Jordan's going to have to weigh in somehow, some way on this. And we're going to find out where all these relationships lie. In the end, Adam, it's kind of sad to me because that was the soundtrack of my summer. I knew every single year my favorite team was going to be in the finals, and because of that dude. It wasn't just Mike. So
right.
When 94-95 happened, I was, as a Bulls fan, those were some of my favorite seasons, because you got a chance to see Scottie blossom. Scottie's been harboring a lot of ill will, and I think it's all spilling out right now. And his public profile right now isn't the cleanest. So it sucks, man. It sucks. I don't have any hot take on it.
No, that's fine.
Phil's a racist, or Scottie's not, you know, Scottie's lying. I think about my childhood and how dope it was because of those guys, and now to see all this discord, it just sucks.
I love talking to you, Jason. I appreciate your time. I hope it doesn't get too hot in Chicago this summer. But it might.
It's always hot in this thing.
Yeah,
I just got to make sure I'm staying out the way, man. That's all. Just trying to make sure that check engine light ain't coming on.
We'll catch up very soon. Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
All right, brother. You be cool.
All right, Chip. Name, image, and likeness. The era begins tomorrow. I could not be more excited. You mentioned unintended consequences. Which of the unintended consequences that people are afraid of will we be able to make the most fun of a year from now?
Oh, inequity in the locker room.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Coaches who tried to look us in the eye and say, well, when one player is, you know, getting all these things and the other one isn't, it's really going to tear a locker room apart. As if social capital doesn't exist. As if 18 to 22-year-olds aren't very well aware of social hierarchy and any kind of you know, jealousy or anything that you're trying to spin as though it doesn't exist before, like a name, image, and likeness is going to lead to, you know, all of these divisions between the haves and the have nots in the locker room. It already exists. And that is the one that is without a doubt the silliest to me.
I think that ultimately name, image, and likeness will have either a zero effect on the overall competitive nature within teams. I think we'll have a, at worst, we'll have a zero impact in terms of concentrating the talent in a certain club. I actually think there's a greater chance that it spreads talent out more than it concentrates talent. Because all of these, every single university has a fan base, and every single university has a community, and there is a value to those athletes within that community. Who's the quarterback of Wisconsin? Already has his logo.
Yeah, Graham Mertz.
Yes.
Graham Mertz has already filed the trademark for his logo.
I can't
He doesn't
wait.
Even need Wisconsin to be able to invest in him, because he can start selling t-shirts and hats with his Graham Mertz logo around Madison on July 1st.
I might buy one just because.
So there is one unintended consequence, and I'm going to say it, but then I want to like unpack it just a little bit that I am concerned about, and it's because I am concerned about the players. And it is a concern that players might get sued, that the execution on marketing and advertising deals falls short. I mean, my execution on lots of things fell short during college. But because we've got like a lot of financial incentives here, and because these are going to be companies and businesses that are used to being able to get deliverables on when they are place orders for advertising and marketing, that if players are not able, if they are not set up to be able to deliver what is promised with some of these deals, then they're going to end up finding themselves in legal trouble.
Sure.
You know, listen, like, they're going to have to pay taxes on it. That's great. Pay taxes on it. Learn how to pay taxes.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
That is a good thing.
But I really am calling on the schools, especially the ones that are going to invest their own graphic designers, their own marketing departments, their own resources in trying to say, hey, we can put together these graphics for you. Hey, we can be able to increase your brand and make sure that when you get these deals, you're able to deliver in a way that gets you more deals, because that's going to be happening on the recruiting trail. Is now we're going to be taking you to our social media office where they're going to make your hype video look incredible. And that is going to be part of the pitch at high-level college football for the best prospects, is ways that we can help you make more money in this name, image, and likeness era. But those same schools, I'm calling on you to also invest in being able to provide some support, some guidance, some advisors in being able to make sure that your players don't get caught in legal or financial trouble from this new opportunity. And that's, listen, I am very much saying they're 18 years old. They go out and make a deal. They don't fall through. They've got to deal with the consequences. I accept that all those things come with it. But if schools are going to continue to benefit and continue to advertise themselves as advocates in the NIL era, then I hope that they also help their players avoid the pitfalls.
Well, here's the thing. First of all, starting tomorrow, there'll be like 8 laws on the books in terms of states having their own laws. The NCAA is basically just, there's no new law, really. They're just going to turn their head. They put some guidelines out, whatever. But so they're just basically not going to enforce their current bylaw against monetizing you, the athlete. And there are some, you know, they don't want, you know, essentially bonuses for performance and things like that. You have to do the work. You have to do something for the money. You can't just, a company can't just cut your check. You got to do something.
And it's got to be within a certain parameter of what the average, I mean, because, you know, not to get too deep into this, but I'm sure someone who's driving around has to deal with sales and understands what CPMs are and costs per impression.
Right.
And the fact that there is certain market values on cents and dollars that are awarded for how many followers you have and a formula that can calculate your value. So they are at least trying to put in guidelines to stay within the true market value, and people who have been screaming for name, image, and likeness for years have constantly come back to that. Like, you just cannot cap them. They deserve to be able to go out and test it on the open market. And so the NCAA is still going to try to put some guardrails up from what I believe would be a totally open market. But that's, I think that would have been even leveled out over time.
I think it should be totally open. I think guardrails are awful. Don't put any of them out there. I think the system will ultimately work itself out without anybody putting restrictions or their guard, any of that stuff. Just let the market. I don't think we're going to see advertisements for, Jack's bong shop. I don't think we're going to see any of that stuff. But what I do think should happen, and this is only with the NCAA's encouragement, is that I do think that all of these kids should be encouraged to have representation. Because that's how you avoid good representation. That's how you avoid this. I was actually having this conversation. We're going to have this conversation on the air tomorrow with Mike Felder. It's one of the things we're going to talk about when Felder joins us tomorrow. But I saw on Twitter, and I just kind of followed the conversation, and I hit him up for a couple of things. But he actually spent some time like trying to hook up agents with athletes because he knows some agents and he knows athletes. He hasn't. Felder has an agent. I wish I did. But it's important for these kids to all have a representative, because if you have a representative, then you can avoid a lot of the things that that you might be worried about that are real fears, the legal troubles that you might get in if you cannot fulfill a contract. You shouldn't do that on your own. You should do that with an agent. By the way, you mentioned schools with design wings, athletic departments with design people. If I'm not mistaken, Wisconsin helped Graham Mertz with that logo.
It's happening all across the country.
Right, and that's
good. It is the latest arms race is being able to provide those kind of resources for your players. I'll say this as the number one thing that will surprise people about the name, image, and likeness era. There might be a couple of, big money deals that wow you, but I think the number that is going to surprise people is how many athletes end up being able to profit off their name, image, and likeness, what sports they play, and the fact that their name might not be familiar to you because they're not on television, but those follower counts on Instagram.
And it
does not even matter necessarily how good you are at that sport, but there are Division I athletes with massive Instagram followings, and that massive Instagram following is going to be able to be monetized.
Yep.
And I kind of think that is the surprise for a lot of fans that listen to us, that listen to the Cover 3 podcast, read CBSSports.com. We stay in our little bubble, and there is a very, very large community for some of the other college athletes beyond just football and basketball.
Gymnasts, softball players. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a ton of non-revenue athletes that are going to benefit. And I think people will be shocked. They might be among the most compensated athletes.
Yes. Right?
'Cause especially if we're talking about impressions on social media, and are you an influencer on Instagram or Twitter? And the answer is those people are. I mentioned this the other day, and I think I've talked about it with you, and we'll close on this. This is about a year old, but I saw a chart, and this actually was when Cole Anthony was still at North Carolina because he was in the top 10. Athletes' social media impact. Four of the top 10 were gymnasts.
Yeah. And Instagram impressions are worth more than Twitter impressions because Pictures are worth 1,000 words.
They absolutely
and you can only get 240.
280.
280. Yeah, 140 times two.
Chip Patterson, you're the best, man. Thank you. We'll talk again next week.
Sounds good. Y'all be well.
You got it, Chip Patterson.
You've been listening to the best of the Adam Gold Show podcast. Part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network, brought to you by Capital Financial Advisory Group. Get your total retirement income plan by texting Adam to 21000. Don't forget, this podcast drops every weekday at 3 p.m. Or you can find it at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL Sports Fan app, or you can subscribe for free at the iTunes and Google Play stores.